I'd like to preach a message tonight concerning the fear of God. The fear of God. The reason why we live in the world that we live in today, because the people, for the most part in our country, does not have the fear of God in their lives. And I hate to say this, but some of the churches, the reason why they're going so liberal to the left, because there's no fear of God in the pulpit or in the churches. And the same thing, us families at times, we go to the left a little bit or liberal a little bit because there's no fear of God. So I want to preach on the fear of God. I want to preach on the life of Job and touch on some things that Job had in his life that I think could help us in our lives. In Job chapter 1, verse 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect. Doesn't mean sinless perfection, but it does mean he was complete, mature in the Lord. Not only that, but he was upright. Not only that, he was one that feared God, and eschewed evil. In other words, he pushed evil away out of his life, and he tried to avoid evil. I think about the fear of God. Well, there's several definitions of any words you might look up in a dictionary. And the fear of God, in one sense, means to be afraid. It means to be fearful. It means to have terror, or frightened, or scared, or worried, or alarmed. And if you're wrong, then you are going to be afraid. Then you are going to have fear in your life. If you're lost, you ought to have the fear of God. You ought to realize that God will judge someday, and that sin will take its toll on your life and on your family's life, and there is a reckoning day someday. If you're backslidden and cold and indifferent, well, there's going to be a judgment time for you. There's going to be a time that God will reckon with you too. So the fear of God, afraid, fearful, terror, frightened, scared, worried, alarmed, if you're wrong, lost, or backslidden, that's the fear of God you feel in your life. Then there's the fear of God that means reverence. It means respect. It means worshipful. It means humble, admiration, astonishment. And that's for those that are saved and serving. We reverence God. We got a fear of God in that we reverence Him. I thought about this. Thank God for my daddy. And I'll be honest with you, my dad was not all that he should have been. I actually led him to the Lord later in his life. But my dad was a disciplinary person. He just was. And there was a fear there. There was a reverence there, but there was a fear there. When I was in trouble, I had fear. When I wasn't in trouble, I had reverence. Amen. I remember something. I think I shared this before. Us boys, there's four boys, three girls, and I'm not sure what us boys did, but we did something pretty bad. He had us, my dad had us boys laying on the bed. He had this big old belt. And brother, he started whipping Donnie because he was the oldest, and Donnie was a screaming and he was a crying. Then Robert started screaming and he was crying. Gary was screaming and he was crying. Before he got to me, I was screaming and crying because they were screaming and crying. I had a fear of God, I did, or a fear of my dad anyway. So I had a fear of my dad. So if you're wrong, there is a fear there. But if you're right, there's a reverence there. The fear of God. And then I think about God. The Hebrew word for God is Elohim, and it means the strong one who's faithful. That's the God we reverence. And then the fear of the Lord. And I know Lord, the Hebrew word for Lord, means Jehovah, the self-existing one who reveals Himself. Aren't you glad God shows Himself real to you and me? You put the two names together, compound name, the Lord God, or Jehovah Elohim, you're talking about the self-existing one who reveals Himself as a strong one who's faithful. That's who we fear and that's who we reverence. So the fear of God. Let me give you several things concerning the fear of God. Number one, the fear of God will affect our lives. It'll affect our lives. If you'll notice verses 1 through 3, and I've already read verse 1, but there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect. Upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. So a man who fears God, God is going to bless that person. God's going to bless that family. So thank God for those who have a fear of God in their heart and in their lives. God will bless them. God will encourage them. God will strengthen them. God will be with them. Listen, I appreciate Brother Ed, friend. Bill, friend. These other men, friends. Thank God for that. But I tell you who I really want to be with me at all times, and He is, and that's God Almighty. Amen. And I have a fear of God. I do. And I want to have a fear of God. If I don't, I won't walk in righteousness. And I know I'm unrighteous. I'm a worm, dust of the ground. I'm telling you, nothing in me, nothing in me. I mean, nothing in me is good. Except for the Holy Spirit that lives in my heart. Amen. And He's the only good thing that's in me. Job was a perfect upright because he feared God. He respected God. He worshiped God. He obeyed God. He reverenced God. At the same time, he stayed away from evil. He didn't allow sin to creep into his life or temptations to overcome him. Being saved and a good and faithful person, he loved God, obeyed God's laws. Job made the effort to please God. And if you're saved today, born again, surrender, that's exactly what you want to do in your life. That's how to fear God in your life. I tell you what, there's nothing like walking in the fear of God. And God blesses you and God blesses your family just walking in the fear of God. I know people don't like rules. They don't like rules. But you got rules your whole life. They're not to hurt you, but they're to protect you. If you love God, rules don't bother you one bit. If you love me, Jesus said, you'll keep my... That's it. That's just it. And if you love God, walking in the fear of God, you have no problem. No problem. I mean none about wanting to do God's will for your life. I mean none. In Psalm 25, verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And He will show them His covenant or His promise. In Psalm 33, verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. I don't know about you, but I want God's eyes on me. On God, when I go to prison, I need God's eyes on me. Say amen right there. So anyway, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. If you don't have hope, you won't want to live. If you don't have mercy, you won't want to live. So behold, the eyes of the Lord upon them that fear Him, upon that hope and His mercy. Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him. And I like this part. And deliver them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God did not deliver them from the fire, but He did deliver them through it. And we're going to go through the fire. We just are. We're going to go through the fire. I'm glad God delivered. So the fear of God affects our lives. Secondly, the fear of God affects our children. It affects our children. Now, you know the story, but let's look at verse 4 and 5. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Brother, he was at the throne of God and he was seeking God's face for his children continually. Listen, our children are living in a terrible world. I thought my world was rough when I was young. I'm telling you, it's worse now than it ever has been, and it's not going to get any better. So we got to pray for our children and our grandchildren, keep them before God continually, and teach them about the fear of God, about the fear of God, about the fear of God. And that's what Job did. He had the fear of God and he prayed for his children continually. Listen, they're facing temptations that you and I didn't face. You can't go anywhere without sin being so evident. And the phones, I'm talking about the cell phones, you better watch those cell phones. That's just all there is to that. It's all there is to that. So anyway, you just got to be careful in our day. The fear of God, we just need it in our lives. It affects our children. Affects our children. I wish me and my wife could start over and have our children again, because I've learned some things. Once I raised them the first time, I wish I had a chance to raise them the second time. So I hope they continue to have more grandchildren so I can kind of help them the second time. Amen. I think I'd do a better job. In Psalm 34, verses 7 through 12, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good things. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Psalm 103, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. In Acts 13, verse 26, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, and to you is the word of this salvation sent. I'm telling you, the fear of God will affect your children. Thirdly, I want you to notice the fear of God will affect your adversary. It'll affect your adversary. Now, I know you know the story, so let's just read it together. In verse 6 it says, Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan, our adversary, came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man that feareth God and eschew evil, turns it off, puts it away, stops it, does everything he can to destroy it? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Let me stop right there. Thank God for the hedge. Amen. Sometimes God allows the hedge to be lifted. And I tell you, you'll go through some real trials in your life. So thank God for the hedge of protection. You know, rules and regulations and laws, they're not to hurt, they're to help. I call them rules of protection or laws of protection. They're there to protect us, not to hurt us. So thank God for the hedge. Verse 11 says, But put forth thy hand now, touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath in thy power. In other words, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. So God's actually given permission, given Satan permission to actually tempt and put Job through some real trials more than ever before. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So the fear of God affects our adversary. Satan attacked Job's motives. Satan said, Does Job fear God for naught or for nothing? You put a hedge around him, you bless him, that's why he's serving you. So Satan attacked Job's motives, saying he was righteous only because he had no reason to turn against God. Ever since he had started following God, everything he did has gone well for him. Satan wanted to prove that Job worshipped God not out of love, but because God had given him much. Hast thou made put a hedge about him, about his house, about all that he had on every side. So Job was a model of trust and obedience to God. Therefore, let me say that again, Job was a model of trust and obedience to God. Let me say that again. Job was a model of trust and obedience. Trust and obey. You better, if you're going to obey, you better trust him. You better trust him. Therefore, God permitted Satan to attack him in an especially harsh manner. Although God loves us, believing and obeying Him does not shelter us from life's calamities or life's problems. There's going to be setbacks, there are going to be tragedies, there are going to be sorrows will strike Christian and non-Christians alike. But in our trials, God expects us to express our faith to this world. When someone goes through a great trial and they stay with God anyway, and you see his faith, it builds your faith up. It builds your faith up. How do you respond to your troubles? Do you ask God why, or do you ask God to use me? I tell you what, when I read this, and this is part of a commentary I read, It dealt with me big time. So I'm saying this is Christian maturity right here. Job's life was not for just someone that just got saved, a babe in Christ. This is for somebody who's maturing God. But Satan can do nothing without God's permission. And everybody said? And so he's accountable to God. Isn't that something? Satan is accountable to God. So God's people can overcome his attacks through God's power. God puts limitations on what Satan can do. That's why we must stay close to God in our devotion to Him and our service for Him. God spoke to Joshua, Joshua chapter 4, verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. The fear of God will affect our adversary. In James chapter 1, and I know trials are not easy. By the way, if they were giving out trials, I wouldn't be in that line. If they were giving them out, I'd just go to another line where they're giving something good out. But anyway, trials are not easy. But this is what God says about trials. Blessed is man that endureth temptations. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. God rewards those that go through trials. The suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's revealed in us. Listen, I had mom and dad die just 2 years ago. My brother died last year of cancer. He suffered for 5 years. It was hard to watch him suffer. But I'm telling you, his reward's going to be great. There's no doubt about it in my mind. His reward's going to be great. So it's worth it if you think of it in that way. So the Bible says, let no man say when he's tempted, though, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt He any man. God will test you, but it's the devil that will tempt you with sin. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. Aren't you glad of that? God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. Now, to me, that verse is a real strong verse, and it really makes a great application to prisons. The reason why I say that is, there is no temptation taken but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation. Will with the temptation. Make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. There's some men that are in prison because of temptation, and they failed. But they hit rock bottom. They came to their self. And they looked up and God saved them. If it wasn't for that temptation, if they didn't get to that place where they looked up, they'd have never been saved. So God used the temptation actually to deliver them. Isn't that something? I dealt with a man on death row there at Angola prison. And his name was Sean. And I didn't know what he did. Didn't want to know what he did, but I knew he was on death row, so he killed somebody. So anyway, I went up to that little cell door, and I put a chair right there, and I opened up the little flap right there, and I began to talk to Sean. Sean was paralyzed, and he was sitting there in a wheelchair, and he wouldn't look at me. He wouldn't look eye to eye. He wouldn't do that. So I began to witness to him, and he shook his head, and he said, "Preacher, God won't save me." I said, "Sure He will." He said, "No, He won't. You don't know what I've done." Well, I knew that he killed somebody. And so I said, "Well, let me just say this. There was a man named Moses that took a man's life. Later on, Moses surrendered his will to God. I mean, got right with God, surrendered his will, and God used Moses to deliver a whole nation out of the land of Egypt toward the promised land. Man named David, one of the greatest kings that ever lived, he killed a man too. But God still used him after he repented. I said, Saul of Tarsus, he destroyed the early church. Got saved by the grace of God and built the early church. In fact, he built a lot more churches than he ever destroyed. Say amen right there. I said, God used them. I said, in First John chapter 3, when your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. I said, I don't know what you did, but God's bigger than what you did. I said, God will save you right now. So he did. He bowed his head. He called on God. And he just wept his way to the Lord. I found out that he was on drugs and alcohol. By the way, drugs will destroy your life, and alcohol will. And this social drinking, that's the first start of someone getting drunk. I'm telling you right now, 80% of people that goes to prison is because of the influence of alcohol and drugs. So don't tell me it's right. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whoever deceived thereby is unwise. The Bible says don't even look at it when it turneth itself. That's when it becomes alcohol. So the fruit of the vine is grape juice, but when it moveth itself, it becomes alcohol. And God says it's wrong. He did. He said it's wrong. So anyway, I ain't compromising right there. I'm just telling you right now. Listen, my dad about killed my mother all because of alcohol and drugs. So don't tell me it's right because it's not right. So anyway, I found out because of alcohol and drugs, he took his wife's life, his son, and the mother-in-law. A year later, I came back, wanted to see how Sean was doing. We opened that little flat door and I sat down. He remembered me. This time he had a Bible here on that table and a devotional book right there. And he's looking right at me and smiling. He said, "Preacher, I'm so unworthy, but God's given me peace of mind and peace of heart. One of these days I'm going to just see my family." Thank God for the fear of the Lord. Amen. Anyway, this is what's going to happen to Satan. And I can't wait. I'll be honest with you, I can't wait. I tell you what, I love everybody. I'm supposed to love everybody. I want to love everybody. But there's one person I don't have to love, and that's Satan right there. Amen. I don't have to love him. Revelation 20, verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. This part I like better than that part. He was loose for a season. But I like this part. And when the 1,000 years expired, Satan was loosed out of his prison. Personally, I wouldn't have let him go. But anyway, he was loosed out of his prison, or will be, and shall go out and deceive the nations, which are the four corners. And then they went out, the breath of the earth camps around the saints about, and the beloved city, and the fire came down from God of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and the brimstone, where the feast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. And God's people said, amen. Listen, the devil try to destroy your family and my family, destroy families all around us, destroy this world. God's going to show himself strong one day. So the fear of the Lord will affect our lives. The fear of God will affect our children. The fear of God will affect our adversary. Number 4, the fear of God will affect our testimonies. Our testimonies. Now, verse 13 through 19, you know the story how God allowed Satan to just about destroy Job. Won't read all that, but I want you to know that he took the servants, many of them died. Cattle, camels, all of it was stolen. His children died. But his children went to heaven. I believe that. You know why? Job already prepared sacrifice and offerings for his children. And I believe his children learned from their father, and I believe they believe God. I really do. God didn't take their lives to send them to hell. He wanted them to be with him. I know it's sad to see a little child die, but you know where they are? Best place they could be. My mom and dad, my dad was 94, my mom was 87. I miss them. I have to admit that I miss them. But they're in the best place they could be. My brother suffered for 5 years with cancer. He's in the best place he could ever be. In fact, to be honest with you, when he got sick, he testified more than he ever did. Led several to the Lord, and I thank God for that. I had an opportunity to preach all 3 of their funerals. To be honest with you, they preached their funeral themselves. And thank God for it. I had my oldest cousin, 70 years old, got saved at my mother's funeral, all because of that testimony. And she was being Catholic all her life, 70 years. My mom was Catholic. I had an opportunity to lead her to the Lord. And just because of her testimony, my cousin got saved at age 70 years old. Thank God for that. The fear of God will affect our testimony. I want you to notice that Job went through all that, and probably just the most difficult time in his life. And you know that Job, actually, you read several chapters in Job, he wished he never was born. Never was born. Never. Wished he never was born. But I want you to notice that Proverbs chapter 2 says this about testimony. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words, have my commandments with thee, so thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding." By the way, the message has been dealing with the will of God, the Word of God, prayer. This whole week it's been that way. Yea, Christ after knowledge. Lift up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Testimony. What a testimony. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 16, verse 17, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil, and he that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. So the fear of God will affect your testimony. And the last thing, number five, the fear of God will affect our worship. It'll affect our worship. Thank God for Job. Look at verse 20. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and what did he do? He worshiped. When you're going through a trial, probably the best thing you and I can do is just worship. God's in control. He just is. You know, I heard a message by Brother Joe Arthur how God was up here at the mountain, and I know Abraham, Isaac was coming up this mountain, and God told Abraham to sacrifice his own son. And that was a picture of what Christ was going to do on the cross. But Abraham didn't know it, but God was bringing up a ram on the other side. So God saw the big picture. Abraham just walked by faith, and God honored that in his life, and God honored that in your life, in my life. So right here we see that he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. I tell you what, Job worshipped before his children was taken. Job worshipped during his children was taken. Job worshipped after his children was taken because it was in his heart. He loved God. And he knew somehow, some way, he could trust God and God would do all things well. In Psalm 5, verse 7, but as for me, I will not come into the house in the multitude of thy mercies, or I will come into the house in the multitude of thy mercies, and in thy fear will I worship toward the holy temple. Psalm 2:11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. In Psalm 89, verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Psalm 96, verse 9, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth. By the way, one day every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So I want you to notice the conclusion. If you'll turn with me to Job 42. Job 42. In Job 42 and verse 10, Job 42 verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So at one time, Job had 7,000 sheep. This time, he had 14,000 sheep. And then he had 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 10 more children. I know that's a blessing, but sometimes that can be a real blessing. But anyway, thank God for that. 20 children altogether. Praise the Lord. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And the Lord blessed him. Look at verse 15. And all the land were no women found fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years after, so he's much older than that, saw his sons, even 4th generation. So Job died, being old and full of days. Job was a man that feared God, and God honored that fear.